he looked and he saw his dad, John Hancock, on a brand new 15-year contract. He goes, so that what do I do? They go, well, you're not leaving. You leave, that's a breach of contract, and you're going to owe us $7.6 billion.
Because only the tough survive. That's the reason you ain't in it. And this punk holding the camera reading he ain't in it. Reading these rednecks out here ain't in it. Because it's a tough business.
Terrific.
What, is that all you got?
I'll ask you the standard question. You know?
Standard question.
I think this is fake.
You think it's fake?
What?
Huh? What the hell's wrong with you? That's open hand slap, huh?
Welcome to the Fourth Opinion Show.
You have made a huge mistake. And if I ever see you in person, I am telling you on camera, please don't edit this out. I will rip you from limb to limb for destroying my reputation in your phony book full of lies, calling me somebody who just wants to gain attention to themselves, and it has been. That's all I have to say about this, Jericho.
Hello, everyone. Hello, and welcome once again to the Sports Opinion Show. I am your host, Matt Alvarez, broadcasting to you live from San Leandro, California. Today is Friday, April 5th, DDP. Already April 2013. I can't begin to tell you how much today, you know, it's kind of significant what today is all about. And not just because WrestleMania is this Sunday, it's more than that. Because today is the day where you find out what's going to happen. You know, Major League Baseball teams and the NFL are all slowing down, trying to come to conclusions on who they want for this season. Baseball season is right around the corner. Some baseball games have already started. Last week and you know, going into regular season for some teams this next coming week, it's going to be tremendous. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be crazy. I can tell you that much right now. And I don't understand why my team, the Oakland Raiders, constantly keeps getting rid of people. We need a team. We can't play football with just one man. I'm mentioning that in theory. There will be a team, but, you know, it just seems like they're just getting away with everybody. I don't know how else to say that. But today, ladies and gentlemen, this next week, and especially this Sunday, will we see the best that sports has to offer? Will this Sunday's pay-per-view be a lackluster, crappy show? Or will it be the truly best, good damn wrestling that WWE has to offer? At least that's what they say. You know, I will keep you up to date on all of this throughout the entire show, if anything progresses. DDP, like I said earlier, is in the chat room. Come on in and join the chat room right now, too. Ladies and gentlemen, right off the bat, just moments ago, I told DDP in the chat room, right as we got down to, you know, the 30-second mark before this show was going to go live, we are live, ladies and gentlemen. But just at that last 30 seconds, Tom Peretti had a meeting this morning at the Rutgers, you know, team office. You know, he is the athletic coach, athletic director. He was the one that was caught on camera hitting, abusing, and using racial slurs against these African-American kids, college kids. What in the blue hell possessed you to do that? Tim Peretti, I hope you never get hired. More than likely, you probably won't get hired in any other basketball or sports, you know, affiliation, working with kids or even going to the NBA. You won't even get a job in the NBA, pal. Forget it. You're done. You're finished. Speaking of finished, you know, I found the perfect theme song on how best to go about running down the WrestleMania card. It's the final card, apparently, with or without our consent, that WWE is going to do this. But it's like I said, Tim Peretti, you're finished. You are done. You know, this whole thing started last week, actually 2 weeks ago, when they were, you know, just practicing in the gym at the Rutgers Stadium. And I don't know how smart or how stupid Tim was to let this happen. Now, you might call it what it is. And before we get started, I hope you have your snacks on. I hope you're eating your favorite snacks, eating your favorite food, grubbing down, because this is going to take a long time. You better have lots and lots of food in front of you, lots of your favorite drinks in front of you, because, hey, we're here for the next 2 hours. We ain't going nowhere. I know my friend Craig is getting his snacks on, eating it up. I of course, you know, before we, you know, I apologize, but I know we said we're going to get into that. But DDP, I feel enlightened. I am in the 30s club. I turned 30 officially this past Sunday, and someone was nice enough to get me a $25 gift card to Chili's. Of course, I went to Chili's yesterday for lunch, and well, if everybody knows me, knows I like to blow things out of the water, that's not necessarily mine. So, hey, I went and I blew the whole $25 gift card. I bought almost everything you could eat at Chili's. And then some. I brought some stuff home. I've got some Mexican products in front of me and on my desk here. And next to that is a small plate of 7 individual pizzas from Chili's. And, of course, you know, drink from my fridge. Got my damn root beer. So yeah, I'm gonna be enjoying this pizza, enjoying this Mexican food, just enjoying everything from Chili's. But hey, back to where we were at. Tim Peretti, this is, like I said, I don't know if you want to say he's smart. Some might say he's smart for doing this. Others are gonna say, like me, you're really one dumb son of a bitch. You know that? Here's how it went down. A random person 2 weeks ago decided to stop by. He wanted to, you know, watch the team practice and watch them progress. Now, Tim Peretti, and, you know, nobody's really sure who this guy was. You know, the guy that took the whole video camera DDP and watched him as he physically and verbally and racially abused these college kids for no reason at all. They're trying to find out if he's a college scout or, you know, this is what the college association is trying to do. The guy's not in trouble. After all, he was the one that put the thing on video and everybody found out about it. He's not in trouble. They just want to talk to him and find out who the hell he is. So if you're that guy, you're probably most likely not listening to this show, but just in case you are, contact the NCAA. They just want to know who the hell you are. Are you a scout? Are you a former scout coach? Or what are you? You took the videotape. See, this is where Tim Peretti screwed up. Just how do you randomly let somebody just walk in? Now, if I was a coach, I would be like, No unauthorized people are allowed on the school grounds here, sir. And no, you can't come into the gym to watch our practice. I'm sorry. I would have nicely and professionally told the guy he couldn't do it. But then again, this is where Tom Peretti screwed up. He opened his big mouth and was all happy about it. Oh, yeah, you want to come watch the kids practice? Sure, come on in. 10 minutes into his practice drill, he forgets. He forgot the whole damn time that there was somebody in the stands watching this practice go on. And just because one of his players still hasn't learned the art of slam dunking, what does he do? You see it clearly in the video, DDP. He picks up the fucking ball, and he throws it at his head. He just lawn darts it. You stupid bastard, you can't slam dunk. Why did I even pick you to be on this team? You, fat boy. Get over here. Let's see if you can slam dunk. And it's like, what? What? Then he used racial slurs against several black kids. Just because they're African-American and just because he's not. Tim Peretti, you think that makes you the man? You think you're special because you get to do all these things? Oh, I get it. You did it because you have two titles. You're the head coach, but you're also the athletic director. Well, now, and I've just learned, just found out 30 seconds before we went live here, he is now the former athletic director, the former coach of this team. They had a meeting with him this morning, and he should have known what was coming. I wouldn't have even called him into the office if I was all the big, you know, he met with five big bosses this morning. And some of them reviewed it, others were asking him why he did this, and then finally the last, you know, big boss said, that's it, you're done. Please leave the building and clear out your office. You're fired. But still, nobody knows. I mean, thank God that Tim Peretti actually stupidly let some random guy come in and sit up there in the bleachers and watch the practice in the gym. And he just randomly happened to pull out his phone and started videotaping. He was watching how good these players were. But then once we saw the actions of Tim Peretti, the guy was appalled. He was shocked. It's crazy. How could you do this? I mean, hell, if the guy hadn't been there, there's probably, I bet you, 10 times over 10. That because these are brand new college kids, you know, they don't want to say anything. I mean, I've never shut my mouth about something that I thought was right or thought was wrong, that I felt was being, you know, disrespectful to a student by a facility member or something like that at school. I always open my mouth. But, you know, maybe the kid probably thought, well, we just have to take this abuse. That's what everybody thinks. We have to take this. We have to deal with this. You have to. No, stop. You don't have to deal with this. The whole team could have, you know, banded together and said, you know what? We're not going to get in trouble. We're not the ones doing anything wrong. But they didn't need to because thankfully this guy was there to catch the whole thing on video. And then the guy, you know, 30 minutes later, acted like he had an emergency. Coach was like, you know, Mr. Peretti was like, oh, you're leaving? Well, we're almost done with practice. You want to, you know, I could take you to lunch. And the guy acted like he had an emergency. No, it's okay, coach. Thank you. I actually have an emergency I have to go to. I know DDP would have done that too. DDP would have been like, No, you know what? Actually, I just got an emergency phone call. I've got to go. Bye. The moment he got out of there, the moment he left that gym, the guy was pissed. He was furious. And I don't blame him. I would be too. He went straight to the school administrator. The dean of the school showed him what he had videotaped. And this is what led to a 2-week investigation that knocked all the walls down at this one school. Now everybody's asking, what is happening in our college schools? What is going on around here? I don't know. It's just terrible. It's absolutely terrible. Anyway, you know, man, I wish I was broadcasting the game live today because the game just started right now. I could be across the bridge for the San Francisco Giants. They have their home opener today. Baseball season, at least for my baseball team, ladies and gentlemen, has officially kicked underway today. Today is opening day for them. Go ahead, Giants. Do what you do best. Win, win, win. That's what we're going to do this year. We're going to win the World Series Championship Cup again. And, you know, that's really, that's it. Now, the other thing, since we're talking about baseball, yesterday when I was at Chili's enjoying my lunch, something had viciously happened in one particular baseball game that I was, of course, watching. I was like, you know, watching ESPN and watching them do this whole thing. You know, and they were covering different games and stuff like that, and I was like, okay, well, you know, this is good. It's good to know that that they're covering all these baseball teams. Everybody's doing good. Everybody's doing great. Having the time of their lives. But something had happened, and I was like, all these two players. And they kept showing this replay of these two players that had collided into each other. Then they showed the third inning, and they repeatedly showed this one particular play over and over and over again. And it had to do with the fact that it was the Rays. The Rays, if you saw the Rays baseball game yesterday, you know what I'm talking about. In the seventh inning, somehow there was actually no communication during this game at all whatsoever. And I thought, well, this is a bad highlight. And, you know, the Major League Baseball guys on TV were like, yeah, this is terrible. And I thought, well, it's just a replay from probably last night's game or something. It wasn't. The game that I saw yesterday while I was at Chili's enjoying the food that I'm enjoying now was actually going on. I was like, no, wait, no. This is actually a live game. This is happening right now. And then right before the seventh inning stretch, another bad mistake by the Rays. I mean, they were making mistakes left and right yesterday. Just before the seventh inning stretch, Jason Bell hits a line drive straight down the middle. But then taunted to be a terrible thing. Because him and another Rays player, I couldn't tell who was on first base, but whatever the communication was during the whole game, this was the one that really pissed off the Rays coach. Because there was no communication, Brandon Belt starts running off to first base. Somehow he forgot that his teammate was still on first base and hadn't started running off to second base after he made the double base hit. I'm like, what are you doing? What are you waiting for? Run, go, get your butt to second or third. He didn't. Not until he saw his teammate running towards him. Oh, right, I'm supposed to run. Yeah. And then the umpires said that he was out automatically at first. It's an automatic out at first base. And then the coach was livid. You can't do that to my player. Blah, blah, blah. You know, and he starts going off. I want him back on first base. Coach, it's not our fault that your team doesn't have any communication. You're the coach. We're just doing our job as Major League Baseball officials. And he kept arguing with them. And, you know, at one point he took off his hat and he pretended to throw it at one of the officials. I was like, don't even think about it, coach. You don't want to go there. Otherwise he would have had his ass ejected from the game. And I just said, wow. I was like, these are not highlights. This is an actual game going on. And the whole time I was at Chili's, I watched the whole game. Even after the game, the Rays coach was still. He ran back on that field, immediately targeted the lead official, and was like, you need to reverse that last play. That will not stand in our record books. Damn it. No way in hell. They're like, oh, we're sorry, coach. There's nothing we can do. The game is over. And he was just pissed as hell. Well, coach, you're not going to get any favors, especially not from a guy like me. The officials are right. There was no communication at all. I mean, if you were watching this Rays game yesterday, then you know exactly what I'm talking about. Twice in the second inning, two of the Rays players had ran all the way to the back of the field at the visitor's mound. Because they were trying to catch a ball that was in very real threat to them if the ball went out of bounds. But, you know, the third base judge, he said, well, it's a fair ball. And the ball bounced off the wall. And you see two Rays players, DDP, they had actually crashed into each other. Then in the fourth inning, a fly ball goes up. And three of them all try to, you know, take the ball all at the same time. And they all three ended up crashing right into each other. Like a bad accident on I-95 in Texas there somewhere, DDP. And I said, what the hell was that? Come on. Where is the communication? The Rays need to wake up and smell the coffee, especially the coach. But that play in the seventh inning, that was funny as hell. Were your players, did they get enough sleep? What happened in the seventh inning there, coach? The fact that you still had a player that was on first base, and then your player that just hit a base hit down the base field line, he starts running to first, and then they're both on first base. Oh, right, I'm supposed to go to second. No communication at all whatsoever. What is this team thinking? Are they even thinking? You know, it's still early in the season, but shit. You better wake up and smell the damn coffee, otherwise you're not going to win the amount of games you need to win in order to reach the pinnacle at the end of the season, which is to be in the World Series. Now on to the NFL. Has the NFL, have they lost their minds? Anthony Davis, just an hour ago, signed a brand new 5-year extension with the 49ers. And I'm not even going to tell you how ridiculous, how much they're going to pay him. I mean, every year the pay just goes up and up and up for these guys. It's crazy. And, of course, if you were watching, you know, the NFL Combine in February, and because, you know, some players back in February were asked about their sexual orientation, but they didn't want to be identified by which team they played for, or the questions that were asked. The NFL did an investigation, and the NFL said there's no specific violations in questioning that teams ask college players anytime or any place. So these college players were asked back in February at the NFL Combine, you know, are you gay? Are you straight? What are you? They said their review has not established any specific violations, but we have made it clear to our club what is acceptable when interviewing potential players and other job candidates. The issue was discussed also again at last month's owners' meeting, and Commissioner Roger Goodell said that if such questions were asked, that that's unacceptable, but it is not in violation of the NFL's rules. But Roger Goodell did say that it's unacceptable. He said, we will do things the right way. We will give them the education and the training. He said, I hope we will solve this problem very soon. Well, that's a lot to say. And not so much to say what is right and what is wrong in the NFL, but we already know those things. Could the 2013, the quarterback draft class, could it be the NFL's most lowly regarded in more than a decade? Because they're having a problem of finding guys that actually play quarterback positions. Most people are like, well, I'm a full-time lineman. Oh, I'm an awesome running back. And some running backs have the experience to play quarterback and play their main position running back. But so far, everybody that's been picked up by the NFL draft can play the position that they've been playing for the last 10 years, for example. But nowhere in the NFL draft has anybody said, well, you need quarterbacks? I'm a quarterback. I can do this right here, right now. It just goes to show that, wow, I can't believe, you know, that this whole thing is taking its wrap around the NFL. That they're having all these problems. Their biggest problem is that they really just, they've lost their mind, is what the NFL has done. They changed 4 rules that they did not need to change, and adding to them and saying that, well, this is how it's going to be now. I just don't get that. I honestly don't. And I don't know what else we're going to get But we'll get something else. We will get something. Are we going to be able to even figure out anything else? You know, because it's leading into more than just what people are trying to do and trying to think about. And I tell you. But this could never have been something else. That it's not by that these people have done. It's the fact that the NFL has really shown the type of beloved system that they want to run. This is the way that they're going to play the game. And we just have no choice now but to go with it. Sure, the real choice is you can turn off your TV and not watch any football next season. We'll see what happens. We'll also see what happens right after this.
Fans, don't worry. The Sports Opinion Show will be back after a brief message from our friends here on the NDB Media Network.
Hey, sports fans, this is the Scorekeeper once again. Want to remind you that, of course, we wake you up Saturday morning at 6 a.m. Pacific time, and immediately following us at 8 a.m. is the hardest working man in sports. That's the Couch Potato. And, of course, his venerable sidekick, Cuervo. Again, after all, we wake you up, and they bring it home. Don't forget to catch them at 8 a.m. Pacific time, because we are the 4-hour block of sports on Saturday morning on blogtalkradio.com. Sports Talk with the Guys, immediately followed by The Couch Potato. Check them out at blogtalkradio.com/the-couch-potato.
The first time in a world of hate.
NBCSportsNetwork.com. Roger Noriega from NDB Media. Just want to give you a taste of our schedule. All times are Pacific. Sunday at 2:30 p.m. ADD Tangent. Rave at 6. DJ and Eli in the evening at 8. This week on NDB Media at 9. On Monday, 6:30 a.m. Fantasy Extra. Then at 4 p.m. Deep Space Jeff. 8 p.m. Sports Talk with the Guys, Weekend Edition. On Tuesday, 6 p.m. The Five Tool Show. At 7, Tuesday Night America. At 8, Fandom Access. On Wednesday at 9 a.m., Bertone Beatles Bonanza. At 4, A Gal for All Seasons. 5, Tri-State Sports Guys. On the first Wednesday, Comics 101. On the last Wednesday, Eclectic Offerings. On Thursday at 4 p.m., twice a week, Classic Trek with Sam and Dave. 5 p.m., Travelitch Radio. At 7 p.m., Edge of Reality. Friday, 6:30 a.m., Fantasy Extra. 1 p.m., Sports Opinion Show with Matt Alvarez. Raise Your Glass is on at 5. Your Mental Health Radio is on at 6. On Saturday, Sports Talk with the Guys Extravaganza. And then Runaway Mind on the third Saturday. Lots of stuff going on. NDBmedia.net, twitter.com/NDBmedia.
And now, we return back to the Sports Opinion Show with your host, Matt Alvarez. And we are back right here on the Sports Opinion Show. I tell you, it's great. I love Friday, don't you? we've got, you know, the weather's pretty good over here. It's not too bad, but, you know, still kind of a crappy week with, you know, weather-wise. But hopefully next week it should, you know, all this crap should go away. And anyway, let's get into this. I'm sure you heard about, you know, the WWE lawsuit that was filed last year by Owen Hart's widow. The widow of World Wrestling performer Owen Hart says she has settled her lawsuit against WWE over royalties and the use of her late husband's image. The settlement was announced this past Wednesday by Martha Hart. However, she did not disclose any details. A spokesman for WWE did not return calls for comment. Owen Hart died in 1999 while being lowered into the wrestling ring at Kemper Arena in Kansas City, Missouri. He was only 34 years old. Martha Hart sued in June 2010, alleging that WWE did not pay royalties payments owed to Owen Hart's estate and also violated a contract restricting the use of her late husband's name and likeness. Wow, I didn't know Vince McMahon violates, you know, contract restrictions with somebody's name or likeness or talent use. You got to give that up. And also, ladies and gentlemen, I told you all last week that I would find out. I would do more digging into Ric Flair's death. Well, I have that news. Ric Flair's son was found dead in a Charlotte, North Carolina hotel room. Foul play, however, is not suspected. This news came hot off the press from Yahoo Sports last week. You know, only 6 hours after we left the air. You know, it was crazy. Tragic news from the world of wrestling. Reed Flair, 25-year-old son of famed wrestler Ric Flair, had been found dead in a Charlotte hotel room. Charlotte County Police received a call about 10:30 Eastern Friday morning, this was last week, about an unresponsive man at a Marriott Residence Hotel. The current police report indicates that foul play is not believed to be involved in Flair's death. Flair, who wrestled under the name Reed Flair, had been working in Japan and was scheduled to tour with his father this weekend.
Ric Flair had recently rejoined the WWE, and Reed was expected to follow in his father's footsteps. We are heartbroken to confirm that Rick's son Reed has passed away. This one's from a March 29th statement by the Associated Press. Flair's agent, Melinda Dandy, of Legacy Talent and Entertainment, said in a statement, "The investigation into the cause of death is ongoing. Reed was 25 and an incredible son, brother, friend, and professional wrestler. No words can describe the grief that Rick and his family are experiencing, and they do request privacy during this devastating time." Wrestling icons, including Rowdy Piper, Eric Bischoff, and Kurt Angle, as I told you all last week, expressed their sympathies via Twitter. So, you know, it just happened. And, you know, last week it's all about what happened. No foul play is suspected, so, you know, did he die in his sleep? Was there something that could be, you know, figured out? I don't know the answer to that. Actually, nobody knows answers. Nobody knows anything. They still have to do an autopsy investigation on his dead body, of course. So, as soon as I will let you know as soon as I find anything out, and that's just the way it works. That's all I can say at this point, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know. But what I do know is this. Taryn Terrell has a job at the TNA Knockout, but she thought, did you know that she is also a college student as well? The Louisiana native is attending the University of New Orleans, where she is majoring in marketing. Now, this doesn't mean I didn't tell you, DDP. I didn't tell anybody. I didn't say go to the University of New Orleans and stalk her. I didn't say that at all. Just putting the news out there that that's where she goes to school at. So she's going to school and she's doing wrestling. Wow. Mick Foley gets officially announced on Twitter this week that his WWE Hall of Fame speech will now be broadcast on the USA Network special after all. They originally weren't going to put it on television, and they said, well, Mick, you're one of those speech guys that you just have a lot to say during your speeches, and it's going to take too much air time. But, you know, hey, for whatever reason, maybe it was something Mick Foley had told them. They're now changed their mind, and they're allowing the speech, Mick Foley's speech, to air on TV. The special was set to only air Donald Trump, Bruno Sammartino, and Trish Stratus speeches. But it appears that the influx of complaints to WWE have changed their minds on it. Ah! See, DDP? See? Complaint. We need to complain, ladies and gentlemen. Because, I mean, after all, we want to see the best. That is our subject title for today. We want to see the best. The best of the best. And this includes speeches. The Hall of Fame special will air this coming Tuesday, April 9th. So this Tuesday night, be sure to DVR it, do whatever you need to do. It'll be April 9th. It will be on the USA Network. The Hall of Fame speech, I know it's weird how they set things in motion. I know what you're thinking. Damn, they do have a hectic schedule. Normally they do it on Saturdays. Yeah, well, this year they felt like extending the WrestleMania Fan Fest weekend. So you know that they're doing shit. They're probably even doing shit today with the fans. Who knows? You know, all day tomorrow. most of Sunday, and then they've got to do the pay-per-view on Sunday night. But I imagine that this is how it's going to go down. More than likely, DDP, that they're going to, well, not just DDP, to Craig, to all the members of the group. Got to give the group a shout-out to Matt Broderick. Everyone listening, that this is probably the most crazy schedule that they're going to have to do, and I think I figured it out. What they're going to have to do is, you know, they set up the stage, and I mean, it takes a lot of work to set that thing up. So they're going to have to go to the arena, get all dressed up, dressed all nicely, all decked out in their blazer suits or whatever they wear, let the fans in for the speech ceremony, and then somehow take the stage down and set up the ring stage that we see on Monday Night Raw, tape Monday Night Raw, that way we get to see the ceremony on TV on Tuesday night. And the talk going around the WWE hotel today was that, well, I know that last week I had said that, well, we've only got the true, honest pre-show, which will be on YouTube, which is supposed to be Wade Barrett versus The Miz for the Intercontinental Championship. But now it looks as though they've been walking around the hotel all this week, and people are like, you know what, we need to add something else to the pre-show. Well, of course, you've only got that one match. It's a good thing. More wrestling. Well, nothing has been confirmed. The feeling is that the match will be something that can feature all the talents that will not be used on the actual WrestleMania show. So more than likely, this is probably going to be a battle royal or a lumberjack match. Something the writers will think of some excuse to throw at the fans and say, oh, whatever, the hell with it. This person has a feud with this person. But then again, everybody has a feud with somebody. So you can expect all the new rookies, you know, people from the NXT show, people from, you know, main event. Probably the Saturday Morning Slam show. Everybody that's normally not on Raw or SmackDown. But then you never know. They might throw in some Raw or SmackDown talent in there, too, just to, you know, have some actual guys that are experienced in calling matches be in there, too, just for the hell of it. So that way they can let them know that, hey, drop kick. Okay, give me a steep elbow right to the jaw. So this would be their way of doing that. That way they can get all the talents involved in the show. Also, WWE officials have discussed having Ryback feud with John Cena for the WWE title after WrestleMania. Because, hey, I mean, it makes sense. WWE said that they already planted the seeds for the feud when Cena eliminated Ryback to win the Royal Rumble this year. Remember that? and this next story. Chyle Guerrero, the daughter of Vicky and the late Eddie Guerrero, is now dancing for money in a skimpy outfit on a pole. No, DDP, it's not what you think. Ladies and gentlemen, I know you're probably like, oh, she's in a nude bar? Or she's just dancing on some pole? Oh, I know, she's in a strip club. No, wait, she's at a fancy Brogues bar. No. Gentlemen, it's for all the guys listening. Trust me. Chyle Guerrero is not dancing on that kind of pole and not for that kind of money. It's not what you think. This is not some sex experiment that she wants to try. She can't! Even though she is a former WWE developmental diva, she's just simply working as a go-go dancer. You know, the kids' television commercial, the go-go dancer, it's a thing for girls that they've been marketing in commercials. I've only seen the commercials on YouTube. That's because this go-go dancing girls club is nowhere near California. It's not even in California. So, So get that other thought out of your mind. Besides, Shaw Guerrero, she's not even old enough to actually walk her ass into a bar or a barista or a nude club. Because where she is, you have to wait a while, which means she's not even 21 yet. Look, I'll just break it down for you like this. She's only 19. Her sister, Sherlyn Guerrero, is 14. She's nowhere near old enough at all. I know that, you know, in certain WWE situations, they only had Shaw and her sister, Sherlyn. And you thought, well, those are the two Guerrero sisters. Sure, those are the only ones seen on TV from time to time, especially the night that Eddie Guerrero flipped out and he tried to, remember how he tried to, you know, involve Rey Mysterio and his son in something, and Vicky was like, come on now, we don't need to talk about this on the air. Yeah, sure, you thought those were the only two girls involved in the Guerrero family. However, that's not true. They also have another sister. So there's three girls, three sisters, Kylie Marie Guerrero, and she's only 7. So, gentlemen, get that other crappy, you know, nonsense out of your mind. Shaw Guerrero is not that kind of pole dancer. It's a girls' club thing, kind of like Girl Scouts, you know? You get it now? Okay, yeah, I think you get it. Anyways. Enough of that. And I tell you, that's I hope I eased everybody, you know, concerns over that. I'm sure all the women listening, I hope I didn't steer you wrong or whatever you want to call it. Anyways, here is the final card for WrestleMania this Sunday at MetLife Stadium in New Jersey. But, before I do that, I told Matt Broderick I came up with an idea concept to actually run down the pay-per-view. Because, hey, after all, this episode is titled The Best, which means this Sunday at WrestleMania, Vince McMahon, we don't care about this other gimmick crappy stuff anymore. Nobody does. They haven't since 1995. We want to see the real violence, the real escapade. We want to see the best of the best. And if this is your big show, then you better put some big into it. Okay? Much like the director of this movie did. Oh, yeah, that's what I like to hear. Mortal Kombat music, DDB. Yeah. This is how to run down WrestleMania. This Sunday at WrestleMania, as I told you all, there will now be 2 pre-show matches. More than likely, you're probably going to see a lumberjack match or Battle Royal, just to give the guys from NXT and from all these other shows that don't consist of Raw or SmackDown wrestlers are going to be on the show. The second pre-show match will be the Intercontinental Championship. Wade Barrett looks to take out The Miz. The Miz is ready to fight. I can't wait for this. The WWE Tag Team Championship match, Team Hell No versus Dolph Ziggler and Big E Langston. It's going to be interesting to see Big E Langston in this match. But you know who else I thought about? And I'm sure you forgot about them, but I didn't. my friend Craig did forget about them. I told him that last night on the phone. What if the primetime players interfere in the tag team title match? I looking forward to that. Now, this whole Chris Jericho versus Fandango thing, I told you all about the Fandango character. This is their way to take him off television, I hope. I hope Chris Jericho wins. Brodus Clay, Tenzai, and the Funkadactyls will take on Team Road Scholars and the Bella Twins. It's great to see the Bellas back. Even though I don't like the heel role too much, I hope the Bella Twins win anyways, along with Team Road Scholars. Ryback versus Mark Henry. This is a match that was set in stone by WWE earlier this week. Hopefully they can live up to this, but then again, is either man worthy of actually winning this match? What the hell, give the victory to Ryback. Randy Orton, Sheamus, and The Big Show will take on The Shield. Are these three truly a team, DDP? We will have to find out this Sunday. But if not, The Shield will sadly take over. The World Heavyweight Championship match, Alberto Del Rio versus Jack Swagger. Jack Swagger says he wants to bring everybody to his America. I hope Alberto Del Rio takes his head off and shows him our America. The No Holds Barred match, Triple H versus Brock Lesnar. This is a match that must be seen to believe. I want to see the best of the best. I want to see blood, sweat, and tears from this. But if Triple H loses, he must retire. The Undertaker versus CM Punk. CM Punk, you're going to get your ass kicked 9 ways from Sunday, pal. The Undertaker is out for blood. I hope The Undertaker wins. More than likely, he should. The Rock will take on John Cena for the second WrestleMania in a row. I hope The Rock wins. I really do. That is how I want to see WrestleMania go down. Because, hey, The Rock and John Cena, there's a lot of speculation going into this match anyways. DDP, what do you think? I want to see your comments in the chat room about this. And I've talked with Craig about this. I've talked with a number of you about this. Matt Broderick, maybe we'll get a chance to talk about this on the phone this weekend. Who knows? People are starting to think and feel as though John Cena could turn heel at WrestleMania this Sunday. I mean, because the way he's been throwing things at the fans with words, that is, and he said on Raw that we have a house divided. No, there was no division. Everyone from the 10-year-old in the front row that I saw when he first came out, all the way up to a 50-year-old guy who was probably maybe the 7th or 8th row back, and shouted, "You really, really suck, Cena." There was no house divided. Everyone was booing you out of a building. And about that whole Fandango thing with Chris Jericho will meet Fandango. Everybody's booing Fandango now, too. But, you know, I don't really know if, you know, what type of thing that this would do to the WWE landscape, let's say it that way. Because the landscape has truly become something else. And, you know, my friend Craig from the group said a very interesting fact. He said, well, you know that whole team concept that the writers had built about the Shield taking on Randy Orton, Sheamus, and the Big Show. But I was like, I don't think so. I told Craig, I really don't think that's going to happen. Because Randy Orton had just turned face right before Christmas. 2 weeks before Christmas, which was around the same time that I mysteriously got laid off from my job. So he hasn't been a babyface that long. I mean, he has in years past. He's been a heel, he's been a face, he's been a heel, he's been a face. And true to his word, he loves the fans. But, you know, if that happens, then you know more than likely that the Big Show... Well, the Big Show's been kind of a tweener, anyways. WrestleMania is the show, the showcase of the Immortals, is what they've been saying for the past 12 years. WrestleMania, the showcase of the Immortals, yeah. Well, to make it immortal, you have to make the show interesting. You must find a logical reason, like I've been saying, a logical, true-cut reason, no bullshit reasons. I don't want to hear, well, Randy Orton's having problems at home. Not that Michael Cole or anybody else would ever actually say that, but... But the problem with that is, if Randy Orton turns heel, the company's still going to turn, but they're not going to turn any profits. Because they're also thinking about, you heard me say this last week. Last week I mentioned, well, as we get closer to WrestleMania, there's still talk, there's a lot of talk actually, within WWE to turn Kofi Kingston heel. Kofi has always been a logical, you know, commodity in the company. And he's always, you know, been there for the fans, stood side by side with the fans. And he's, the fans have helped him, too, by cheering for him. But I honestly don't see how and for what reason that Kofi would even turn heel in the first place. And you say, really? I say, yeah, really, I'm serious. Because the problem with that is, Kofi's not even on the actual pay-per-view. Well, he, you know, as we welcome Coffee into the chat room, he might do something in the pre-show because they might have a second pre-show match. Like I said, if they do have it, it's going to be either a lumberjack match or a battle royal or something, and Kofi can turn heel there. But if Randy Orton turns heel during his tag team match with the Big Show and Sheamus against the Shield, and then what if John Cena turns heel during his match with The Rock? Case in point, this is a big, huge problem because, and as Kofi is typing away in the chat room, I know he's going to say something completely off the wall. That's what Kofi does. I mean, Kofi. Kofi always does that. Kofi said, I turned heel in the summer of 92. But see, this is a big, big problem for WWE, and they don't realize it. That problem is, you've already got way too many fucking heels. Unless you're building up somebody from the NXT show or from the main event show or from the Saturday Morning Slam show, forget it. Because I know that you, Vince McMahon likes to do these type of storylines where you get people in a situation, but then sooner or later, they're going to need somebody to protect them and save them from the person that's doing them wrong. Well, how are you going to save them if you don't even have baby faces to actually do that if you're truly planning on having half the roster on Sunday turn heel? How is that going to look if Kofi turns heel in the pre-show? How is that going to look if Randy Orton turns heel against Sheamus and the Big Show? Because, like I said, Big Show's already a tweener. Big Show's already kind of a heel anyways. Because he doesn't care about anybody. He doesn't care about anything else. He doesn't even care about the two guys he's teaming with on Sunday. And then if they turn John Cena heel, that's like a third of the roster that's heel. What the hell? Coffey says he has an all-heel group. He said, it's called the Asshole Army. Coffey. Oh, boy. I don't know, Coffey. I don't know about that one. Never mind. I think I'm just going to leave that one alone. Of course, we'll come back to WrestleMania before the show ends. Let's get into Raw, because I want to take some honest time with Raw. Because what did I say last week? Damn it, the shit that's gone on is not healthy. You say you're healthy and you're for, oh, we're for the next generation. We're for the kids. Yeah, that's why we became a PG product. But your stupid, pathetic productivity hasn't done anything, because you're just letting the writers write what they want to write. And that's how things get transferred to the talent. See, back in the day, and I'm talking about the 80s, the 70s and 80s. And the 70s and 80s was the time that Vince McMahon finally bought his father's company, Vince McMahon Sr. And he really took things on the helm. He was always involved in the creative process. He was always involved in the audio department to make the audio and TV sound better and look better. He was always involved in every single department of his own company. But now here we are in 2013, and he's slowly stepping away. Vince, can I get this? Don't worry about it. It's authorized. But you don't even know what it is. I don't care what it is. It's authorized. I've given you authorization to approve it. Now, don't come into my office anymore. Which means Vince is just authorizing shit just for the hell of it. And then, you know, the nights that he's not, you know, backstage or even on TV, he's at home and he's like, well, I'll watch it and then I'll see what you guys did. I'm sure you did a good job. He's either at his office or he's at home now that he's much older. But as we run through this, you'll see why I'm so, I don't even know what the word for it is. I don't even know what the word I'm looking for. I'm so angry and frustrated. Frustrated is the word. Anyway, Heath Slater, Jinder Mahal, and Drew McIntyre took on Randy Orton, Big Show, and Sheamus. And of course, they did win, but, you know, after the match, The Shield came through the crowd and they had a six-man stare down. Dean Ambrose had said, well, congratulations on your fake victory. Ambrose further went on to, you know, say that on Sunday he's going to leave them on their backs at WrestleMania. Seth Rollins turned in and Seth, you know, said that the whole world will believe in The Shield after WrestleMania. We'll see what, like I said, we'll see what that's all about. Now, a lot of people I know were surprised and shocked because, hey, they did that whole internet thing. You know how I always tell you guys that I don't look at the Raw results anymore. it's boring to me because I don't want to know what's going to happen before the actual show. Well, some of my friends did that, and they go, wow, okay, so this is the main event, uh-huh. But then they were shocked when they watched the initial show, the actual show, and go, hey, what the hell is this? And I said, what? Good grief, calm your asses down. The results that I looked at on the internet did not say anything about Shawn Michaels appearing. Well, you're right, they didn't. Because remember I told you guys 2 weeks ago, Coffey remembers, and when Coffey made his comments about Shawn Michaels. But nonetheless, I told you guys 2 weeks ago that they did have it written down and they did have it authorized and all that stuff to say that why don't we just have Shawn Michaels show up and he can tell the world that he's going to be in Triple H's corner while Paul Heyman will be in Brock Lesnar's corner. Then they scratched it and said, nah, because then we'll have to make that a tag team match, and that's not going to look good. Because, you know, Paul Heyman is, well, Paul Heyman. Can't really wrestle. But this is why Shawn Michaels went on Raw. To tell the world what the writers initially wanted him to tell the world 2 weeks ago when they stupidly changed their minds, and then they changed their minds back to the original plan. And that's why he said what he said. Fine, I will be in Triple H's corner. Paul Heyman said, well, you know, Triple H, I can't believe you would stoop to this level to have Shawn Michaels watch your back for you on Sunday. You made a lot of disappointments in your life, although you are used to disappointing your wife every night. It was like, oh, which kind of led the writers to just act upon what they felt that Paul Heyman should say. And that's why Triple H was like, oh, you son of a bitch. Paul Heyman was like, well, that might be true. I might be a son of a bitch, but that's too bad. It's true what I said about your wife. See, and this is where the initial conception takes off. I mean, years ago, we all would have been asking this question. Was that real? Was that fake that Paul Heyman just said? No, it's storyline. But the attitude of the storyline is actually on the TV-14 radar, not the PG radar. The PG radar is way on the bottom. You just keep climbing that ladder and climbing that ladder. And when he said that comment about Triple H's wife, parents were like, what are you watching? I'm just watching wrestling, Mom. Dad, don't worry. Chill out. Yeah, but he said that about somebody else's wife. I don't know, Mother. Daniel Bryan taking off Dolph Ziggler. And during this match, I found out something very true, and I've been doing a lot of investigating into this, and I finally found what they've been talking about. You know how Michael Cole has been saying that Coffee. I'll get to your comment in just a second. You know how they've been saying how Michael Cole's been stupidly rambling on? Well, you know, the Money in the Bank thing is going to take place in July. And I was like, what? July? And I know we've had a caller on hold for a long, long time. And I think I know who it is. We'll get to him in just a second. Or her. Or whoever. But I found out after all my investigations, they changed it. I mean, there's still a chance that Dolph Ziggler could cash in the Money in the Bank this Sunday. But they want to keep it, really they want to keep it at the Money in the Bank pay-per-view. See, they screwed themselves by making up all these pay-per-views after pay-per-view, you know, like Hell in a Cell. So anything Hell in a Cell will now take place only at Hell in a Cell. Nice job, Vince. You screwed it all up again. Now we'll see who this caller from 276 area code is. Who is this?
It's 267. Hey, you're welcome.
What's up, AJ?
I'm fine. Enjoying this nice 65-degree weather over here in Philly. Can't complain. It sets up for an awesome WrestleMania this weekend. It's going to be very, very nice. I can't wait. All this talk of all these matches that you're doing, but you still have failed to realize the very big significant importance. None of this shit matters unless people execute. You feel me?
Well, people are trying to figure out, AJ, whether or not that half the roster might turn heel.
Well, that's a speculation, but there's a reason why one person may not be turning heel, because they don't want to. Apparently, the writers are forcing John Cena to turn heel. Whether that happens or not, you know, we'll have to wait and see, because, you know, that only will happen Sunday. But what do you think will actually happen as far as John Cena is concerned? Because I'm pretty sure half the roster will turn heel.
Yeah, because, you know, an hour ago I had mentioned that there's a possibility that they want Kofi to turn heel. They might want Randy Orton or the Big Show in their match against the Shield to turn heel.
More likely, I like the idea of turning Randy Orton back heel. He was a better heel character than he was a face. And I think it'll be more beneficial for them to have Randy Orton as a heel, because right now their product is a little stale as far as, you know, them having a lot of face wrestlers. Like, I haven't seen this since the mid-90s when everybody was a face and there was just a select group of heel superstars. But, you know, if Randy Orton turns heel and if Kofi turns heel, how do you think that will work out? Will they give him a title push?
Well, maybe, maybe not. I mean, you know that Kofi's not in the actual pay-per-view, right?
Yeah, I kind of got that, which, you know, they really fucked up one. He should be at WrestleMania.
Well, he is,
he
but he's going
to
be
at WrestleMania.
They're having two pre-show matches. The first pre-show match was originally just going to be, you know, the Miz dealing with his problem, and that was going to be it.
That's terrible. The Miz shouldn't even be a mid-card wrestler. I feel as though his talents are main event quality, and they're really cheating themselves with the Miz, because the Miz has great mic skills. For the Miz critics out there, I think that, you know, he's highly underrated. He deserves a chance to show his main event talents. If you're going to let everybody else be in the main event, you know, every now and then, what's up with him? They need to rewrite his storyline. I think they've got something good with the Miz. After, you know, anyway, I really think they've dropped the ball with the Miz as of lately.
Anyway,
what do you think?
Yeah, because hey, the pre-show match is going to be Wade Barrett versus the Miz. And then the second pre-show match that they just added will either be a lumberjack match or a battle royal match. Will include everybody that's normally not on Raw or SmackDown. But Kofi might be in there too, so.
Well, it just seems so, like, the card seems stale. I'm like, don't get me wrong, there's a few good matches on there. CM Punk versus Undertaker, Triple H versus Brock Lesnar, The Rock versus Cena 2 for the WWE Championship. Like, those are good matches. Ryback versus Mark Henry, and all that is good, but, like, what did that actually say? Like, what else is going on? Like, you've got all these star-studded matches, but really, what about The Miz and Kofi, like, why don't you just mix it up? Why not have a battle royal? Not like a battle royal, but why not have another match, like a significant match at WrestleMania? Maybe it's just my opinion of the card. It's just me not liking it. Because earlier today, I was watching something from 10 years ago, and had two WWE legends, as in Chris Benoit and Eddie Guerrero, versus The Rock and Edge on SmackDown in the main event in a tag team situation, in which, you know, The Rock and Edge won. And then out of nowhere comes the rookie Brock Lesnar, because if you remember, he took on The Rock for the Undisputed Championship at SummerSlam after winning the King of the Ring against RVD. And my whole thing was, this build-up that they've created, you know, in a sense, back then with The Rock and Brock Lesnar, it just has me to believe that they really fucked up with booking this match with The Rock and John Cena, because if you really look at it, I was anticipating to see The Rock versus Brock Lesnar too for the WWE Championship. Kind of like a rematch from 10 years ago. You feel me?
Mm-hmm.
So them putting Brock Lesnar after, you know, he demolished, I guess, if you want to say, Vince McMahon again, and breaking his hip up against Triple H, I think that's kind of like, you know, thrown together. Even though, you know, it's Vince McMahon and his father-in-law. I'm like, you know, these stories, throwing together storylines are a little out of whack. And then they keep changing WrestleMania all the way up until WrestleMania. Like, Vince is still changing the card.
Exactly.
And that's kind of crazy. That's why I said I think it's kind of stale. Like, none of these matches have any type of specialty to them. Like, I really think that Triple H should be facing Brock Lesnar in, like, not a handicap match, I guess his career's on the line. But that's
yeah, career's on the line. They made it a no-holds-barred match.
A no-holds-barred match? What about an I Quit match?
They should have done that. They should have, but they're not thinking, because they're constantly doing all this last-minute planning. Another thing that's not really supposed to be on the card, but it is, that you've got Chris Jericho. He deserves to be on the card, no doubt, but he's going up against Fandango.
I don't even know why. Back in the day, if you were a rookie coming straight into the company, you did not get a WrestleMania push right then and there. Actually, you didn't get a WrestleMania push until 3 years of you being in the company. Okay? So all this shit about this guy coming out of nowhere, getting a big push, and I've read the article on him getting a big-ass push up to and through WrestleMania. I'm like, this, you really trying to build the superstar. First of all, he's corny. He's supposed to be a ballroom dancer as a wrestler. Come on now. This is corny. His character is corny. The idea of giving him a push is corny. And it makes me believe, like, if I put on ring pads and ring gear and shit, I could go there, get a push, and be in WrestleMania that same night. So I really think it's kind of crazy. And really, the audience hasn't even gotten adjusted to him. He's been here, what, a couple of weeks? You can't really get behind somebody that fast. I mean, you could if they're CM Punk quality, but he's not CM Punk quality.
If you notice, every single night that he's been on TV, every single Raw, people are booing him, and now the writers and Vince, they realize this was a bad idea. That's the reason why they put him on WrestleMania, because they're like, this Fandango character is not working out. So now they're trying to find a legitimate excuse, like with CM Punk. CM Punk has a legitimate excuse. He needs knee surgery. So more than likely, he'll lose on Sunday. The problem with Fandango is the Fandango character's not getting over. It was a stupid gimmick, and now the writers and Vince realize it. So now they're going to try to find some legitimate way to get rid of him and take him off television. That was the whole reason for putting him on the pay-per-view, just to get rid of him. At least I hope they're going to stick to their guns and actually get rid of him.
I really hope so, too, because I really thought that was the plan. They're going to change his character. They're going to do something. Like, I remember reading that as well, but I guess, you know, it's Mr. Man's world, and with the way things have been going, nothing has been on schedule. Nothing has stayed the same. Maybe we will see a change of, and I see that, you know, Fandango, but the name itself sounds retarded. The concept seems to be a little out of whack, but I just think that with him coming in the company, I don't think he should have got there right away. But it's not my company, and it's not my say, but that's just how I feel, and I think a lot of the fans feel the same way. I mean, if they're booing him, I don't think it's going to work out to the point where, you know what I mean, he deserves that, deserves a shot to prove himself. Like, why do you need to prove yourself when you just got here? You haven't been in a Royal Rumble match to qualify for a championship spot and to give you a title push over more deserving people than Kofi Kingston and The Miz and even Jack Swagger after the shit that we've said about him last week. Like, it's a little much. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, I really think they should review that one before going into WrestleMania itself.
Yeah, I tell you, it's really crazy. It's kind of like, I don't know, it just, like they're leading, Vince is like leading the fans into this blind atmosphere, and then when WrestleMania finally goes live, and people are going to be like, well, okay, I wasn't expecting that. I mean, it's bad enough. I mean, I've been mentioning it for years, and they just now started doing it. Or just tell everybody what the hell is going to happen. Just let us know what's going to go on with WrestleMania. And they did. Michael Cole mentioned, hey, your stupid friend P. Diddy is going to be singing at WrestleMania. Lawler's like, shut up, he's not my friend. I was like, well, they revealed that one. That's true.
I'm a little eager at the card, but to see exactly what goes on, but it's one of those pass or break moments, you know? There's nothing real definite for me. I don't really see too much. Okay, I love The Undertaker, but I think it's time for somebody to enter the street. Okay?
I feel that too.
But I don't know if I wanted to be CM Punk.
Yeah.
Then again, who else are you going to put on? Who else on the roster can you say will beat The Undertaker?
That's a great question that I don't have the answer to. I don't know.
I mean, okay. Everybody on the roster right now, who do you think would be best to face The Undertaker besides some of the main event characters already? Would you like to see Brock Lesnar versus The Undertaker too at WrestleMania to end the streak?
That could be a possibility. That could work.
But how much longer does The Undertaker have left in?
I don't know. I mean, what is going to happen this Sunday? All the mystery mostly surrounding The Undertaker.
Uh-huh.
Is he going to be done, or is he just going to be doing what he's doing and come back whenever the company wants him to come back and he's healthy enough to do it? Or is he done for good?
Very good question. A viable question at that. I mean, I don't think anybody really looked into it. I don't know.
It's hard to say, but, you know, I have this thing about the tag team championship match. You got Team Hell No, Dolph Ziggler, and Big E Langston. It's going to be interesting to see how Big E Langston's going to do at WrestleMania in such a big environment, pay-per-view quality that he's never been on before.
I don't know. If I was in charge of booking, you know, WWE like I wanted to be years ago and don't want the job, obviously, because it's not probably going to pay me as much. But this card wouldn't be corny.
Yeah, probably not. Because the one thing that I see here is that with the tag team championship match, even though it's Team Hell No versus Dolph Ziggler and Big E Langston, I think that because of what happened at the February pay-per-view where the primetime players got screwed by Team Hell No, which was mostly Daniel Bryan's doing, I think the primetime players are going to somehow make an impact and interfere in the match or something like that. More than likely, we'll probably see them on the card just for show. You know what I mean?
Yes.
But like you said, I mean, the matches are good, but they're not great. Like, what's up with this Brodus Clay, Tensai, and the Funkadactyls against Team Road Scholars and the Bella Twins?
Hold on, repeat that one again for me.
It's going to be Brodus Clay, Tensai, and the Funkadactyls against Team Road Scholars and the Bella Twins. It's a mixed tag team match.
It's an 8-man mixed tag team match.
Well,
and it sounds horrible.
It does.
First of all, you brought A-Train back, Prince Albert, whatever the fuck you want to call him, and you really made his character stale. Like they normally do with A-Train when they bring him back. Like every time they bring him into the company, no matter what point of his career, they found a way to stale out his character. He was better off with staying in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the Funkadactyls, okay. I don't have too much hate against them because they both can wrestle. That's a surprising thing. They both can wrestle, but I like the one, the really tall one. I don't know her name, but I really like the really tall one. But she has some wrestling. I think that's Naomi. Oh, no. Naomi is black, isn't she?
Yeah, Naomi.
Okay, I think that's her. I'm not sure. Don't quote me. I'm not sure. Remember, I haven't watched any of these the new NXT superstars come into the company and turn into, you know, these tag teams and stuff. Like, the last person I remember following was Brutus Clay and Seth Rollins and them before all the major changes. Don't anybody knock me, because I really don't know too many people, okay? I feel new to this, to the NXT superstars coming up. And it's a lot of them coming up after WrestleMania, so I'm trying to get my reader's manual on this new group of NXT superstars coming up. Okay, everybody, just to let you guys know. But I really think she should be in like a Divas match for a championship. I think her talents are a little bit more than what they got going on in this mixed eight-man tag team match against the Bellas. Are you kidding me?
No, it's on the actual card, dude.
Oh, this isn't on the actual card?
It is. This is the final card.
Oh, wow.
So they're going to be a part of this, and that's what I said. I don't know. That's what the writers wanted. They just threw in Brodus Clay, Tensai, and Naomi, and you know, I guess it's her sister, Tamra, against Team Road Scholars and the Bella Twins. So, in some ways, they kind of killed the women's division in this.
They've been killed them. It's all right, Matt. I'll put it to you like this. They've killed it, stomped it, put it out, tried to bring it back, blew it up. Why not just give them back the women's championship and retire that Divas belt? That Divas belt is hideous. A butterfly for a championship, you really, like, demasculated the females. Like, the females don't even seem like that division itself, the women's division doesn't even seem like it's proper anymore. Like, like you want to watch it. Like, they're, no disrespect to the females and all that, female wrestlers of the WWE, because they all are talented individuals as far as their wrestling capabilities. But, on the other hand, they're demeaning. They've just been, it's like they're trash on the side of the road. Like, nobody cares about them in that company. Look at what TNA does with their women. I mean, it's not the same, but, like, at one point in time, their fucking knockouts division was the shit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It was the shit. Like, you could put them as a main event, and they will get you guaranteed good ratings. Like, maybe WWE needs to, you know, invest in bringing back ODB, who was in their farm system when they were aligned with OVW. Maybe they should look into hire some of these people away from TNA just to make their division better. Like, they brought in Karma, and, you know, she was pregnant and has yet to come back to the company. I think they might have released her. I'm not sure, but to be honest,
I don't know.
Their female, their women's division is really, with the Divas division as they call it now, is really stale and fucked up, and I don't like it. I don't like it, and I think that, you know, none of the other fans like it. And here's a question that's a little off topic for you, but maybe you can help me figure this out. And if not, maybe Coffee or DDP or somebody in the chat room can help me figure this out. But do you remember what happened to all the muscle commercials, the bodybuilding commercials, as far as supplemental body enhancing shit has went to?
No, I don't.
Isn't that a little curious? Like,
it is. Yeah, now that you mentioned that, what did happen to all these muscle mass commercials where you could get a 10-pound arm for only $19.99?
If you ever watched this episode of SmackDown was the shit, okay? Right after a match on SmackDown, they'll cut to a commercial. Then all you'll see is, like, Trish Stratus or The Rock or Stone Cold or Triple H or somebody advertising a new Muscle and Fitness magazine or a Bowflex or, you know, try this muscle milk, you know, it'll enhance your muscles by 35% and so-and-so, and this will happen here and this, that, and the third there, and, you know, buy this for $19.99, all that good stuff. But now all of a sudden, all we're talking about is toys and kids and stuff. Like, okay, with the change in concept, did that have an effect on the advertising with WWE? Because if you remember, their quarterly quarters did not come back, you know, proficient 2 years in a row.
Yeah.
And their advertising hasn't been on point either. So, yeah, I mean, has the advertising, has the direction of the company has something to do with the way they've been advertising? Does that have a lot to play with it?
You know what? We can tie all this in together. We've got to take a quick commercial break because I have a special audio clip that I want everyone, especially you, AJ, to pay special attention to. So we'll be right back.
Hey fans, don't worry. The Sports Opinion Show will be back after a brief message from our friends here on the NDB Media Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, the hottest place on the internet for wrestling and video games is, of course, WGS Radio. We got it all. News, reviews, interviews with some of the biggest stars in wrestling today, and yes, even...
Oh my God!
The leader of Team Pooch himself, McDirty Seth. That's every Wednesday and Saturday night, 7 p.m. Central Time. And of course, for pay-per-views, 2 hours before every pay-per-view for wrestling. www.longtalkradio.com/WGS Radio. We'll see you there.
Oh, Cole Steve Austin, okay, the owner of the WWF, the Stunner, Vince McMahon, and, right, well, there we are back in the locker room area. Vince said he was going to have Stone Cold arrested.
All he can do.
That's a hell of a riff, son. That's a hell of a riff. Yeah. Look at me when I'm talking to you.
Yeah, Jet.
Look at me.
No, you deserve this. I'm going to
tell you.
Come on.
When I get out,
you're going where you belong, pal.
Just 24 hours after winning the WWF title, it looks like Stone Cold is going directly to jail. Or is he? We'll be back. This is what we didn't see, ladies and gentlemen, just moments ago.
AJ, did you hear that?
You know what? That's classic Monday Night Raw at its best.
Did you hear the initial reaction by JR when he was like, Stone Cold has been arrested. We'll be back. And then you heard it in the background.
And getting arrested. Oh, my God. That was so long ago.
Yeah, but sorry to cut you off, but this is proof right here, ladies and gentlemen. If you all heard that, because they accidentally had the tape over JR's voice. Well, they tried to anyway when he said, we'll be back. This is proof that they are not live. They need to stop saying that they're live. Neither in Impact Wrestling. They're not live either. Just tell everybody, welcome to our tape show.
I figured that years ago when they started announcing that they've cut down their the number of matches they do. It's kind of silly. I remember they used to tape like 3 and 4 shows in a week, which I thought was a little stupid.
Yeah, well, now they're doing more because they have the Wednesday night show, they've got Monday Night Raw, they've got Friday Night SmackDown, and they have Saturday Morning Slam.
No, I'm talking about TNA.
Oh, TNA.
Yes.
Yeah.
WWE doesn't know what they want to do. They tape most of their shows between Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Monday and Tuesday, of course, you know, is, well, Raw claims to be live. Maybe it is, maybe it's not. But then you still have, you know, they take, I guess Superstar still comes on. Does Superstar still come on?
Yeah, it does. It comes on the Ion channel.
And then you have, no, that's the main event.
Yeah, that's the main event.
So how many fucking shows does this company have?
They've got...
Go ahead.
They've got a lot to keep the boys and the girls busy. I think it's about time that they need to change it up and actually give these guys a vacation. You know, look to go home with their family for the holidays.
Well, can I ask you this question? Does unifying the championships really help this company? Unifying the WWE and World Heavyweight Championship, the Intercontinental United States Championship, does that help?
No, it doesn't help because you got rid of all the other good titles, the titles that actually meant something.
But it's like they tried. Remember, they retired the Intercontinental Championship once, and then they had to bring it back because everybody was like, you can't retire the Intercontinental Championship. Are you crazy? And to get rid of the United States Championship is like, that's a slap towards patriotism. So how can
exactly.
you do that? So what titles, what you going to bring back, the European title to offset the loss of the United States Championship, but you've got the Intercontinental Championship. Like, what titles do you take away? What titles do you bring back? Are you going to bring back the Hardcore Championship? No.
You know what was a good remnant, a good portion of the Hardcore title that kind of you know, it spoke in a lot of ways, but there's another similar title that they can bring back because it's not called the hardcore title. Impact Wrestling, they don't have it. WWE, they can always create one. I say it's time. Sure, it's a hardcore championship, but it doesn't have to say hardcore title on it. You don't even have to call it the hardcore title. The original ECW, AJ, ladies and gentlemen, had what they called, thanks to Paul Heyman, the TV title. Bring that back.
But the TNA does have a television championship.
When was the last time they've used it on their show?
It was years ago, but I mean,
okay,
they didn't have it.
That's what I'm saying. Vince has the money. He can create a belt. Hell, he spent a lot of money making the Rock Championship belt, didn't he?
It's really cheap and cheesy, but I like it. I'm not going to lie. I like it. It's different from that damn spinner belt that stopped.
Yeah, that spinner belt was crap, and everybody knows it.
The United States Championship spinner belt was very, I liked it. It was just silver. All silver, everything spins. And it really looked nice. I really like that championship. And then change the WWE championship into a spinner belt and keep it around for years and years and years didn't help at all. It just made me more pissed.
Yeah, but let's go back to where we were before the commercial break. I just had to throw that audio, that special audio clip in there to show proof that Raw and any of the WWE shows are not live. Funny. They tried to tape over JR's voice, but they missed it by 2 seconds of a fraction.
Well, can I ask you this question? They've taped over a lot of... How many shows do you think they've actually had to go back and tape over?
Probably a lot. Probably a lot. But see, you know, it brings the question up. You know, will we see more of the same like we saw on Raw? Will we see it tonight on SmackDown? Or will we see it on Sunday? I think they should save anything that they have for tonight, they should save it for Sunday. Especially after what I saw during the Funkadactyls match when they faced the Bellas. Because again, they're doing it again. With the type of women's wrestling fight that they're doing, and I know Coffee hates this, but I'm saying it simply to make a point, that when Tammy rolled Brie Bella up, and you could kind of see her cleavage under her bra, Jerry Lawler almost said the word puppies again, a word that has been banned by Vince McMahon. But see, they're throwing all these stuff out of their mouth. Like I said last week, AJ, just the hell with it. Just go back to TV-14 if you're going to talk like this. I mean,
what he used to talk about, puppies and, come on, the Terry Invitational Tournament, the TIT. I'm sorry, but if anybody remembers that from when the Hardys and Edge and Christian first met at No Mercy back in 1999, you clearly understand where I'm going with that.
Yeah, it's like I said... The last hour I said that, you know, parents were sitting, some parents were actually in the kitchen making dinner or doing whatever they do, or maybe they're having the kids get ready for bed. Well, they're like, well, I'm going to be in the bedroom with your dad. And then all of a sudden the parents start to hear Jerry Lawler and Michael Cole laughing about the incident that they were mentioning and the stuff that they were saying. And Jerry Lawler's like, yeah, she's a $5 worth of ass. I would do her right now. And the parents were going, what are you watching? Wrestling? What
porn.
Kind of wrestling? Well, it's just WWE.
Whoa, porn. That's not wrestling. It's porn. All they talk about is titties and ass. And that's that damn Jerry the King Lawler. They've watered his character down. I'm sorry. I don't like this watered down version of Jerry Lawler. I really think that he would like to be a heel. If they turn him back into the heel that he used to be, I swear to God, the ratings for Monday Night Raw will go up. And bring back Jim Ross in some capacity, please. Michael Cole is okay, but like the King said, I miss Jim Ross, and I can't wait for him to come back.
Just have him show up and be like, I'm here to take, I'm the pay-per-view king. I'm going to come in and take over this pay-per-view. Send Michael Cole to do interviews or some shit. This is my chair for the night, pal.
He was a wrestler, and he's talking to John Cena. Like, you're so far up John Cena's ass, Michael Cole. When was the last time you did that? See, if Michael Cole was back on SmackDown, they found a way to get him a good color commentator. Let's be honest. All these commentators on all these other shows besides Raw are ass.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm sorry. I want to be a little realistic. They should have kept Joey Styles doing commentary. They really dropped the ball with Joey Styles. Like, and moving him from one part of the company to another, why can't he have two titles? Why can't he be a commentator and do web production? Like, are you kidding me? Like, right now, the commentary is stale. The wrestling is stale. The product is stale. Going back to what I was saying before we went to commercial break, does their advertising really affect business? Is advertising bad for WWE right now? Because let's be honest, they have not really advertised WrestleMania up here in the Northeast like they really should have. Like right now, even though I'm in Pennsylvania and WrestleMania is only like a 2-hour drive up 95 in New Jersey, because, you know, it's technically in New York, but it's going to be held in the Meadowlands outdoors. But is it really bad for business?
Well, I think so, because based on what you just told me, that you're serious that they haven't shown any WrestleMania commercials in your area.
No, I understand that I'm in Pennsylvania, and it's taking place in New York, New Jersey, and mainly it's geared towards New York and New Jersey. But I'm just thinking to myself, the last time WrestleMania was here in Philadelphia, New York, Baltimore, Washington, they were all getting advertisements. Remember how they used to do long-range advertisements just to get them to come, like, to some shows?
Yeah. I remember.
And that's crazy. What the hell? Like,
well, I don't know, but, you know, real quickly, the whole landscape, including Impact Wrestling, TNA, whatever you want to call it, that they have the TV 14 edge, but at the same time, they're basically, Dixie Carter constantly wants to copy Vince McMahon. Be original. Be yourself. It all comes down to, you know, actually seeing the best of the best. That's what we've been talking about today. That's what our main subject has been. We want to see the best of the best wrestlers. We want to see the best shows. And preferably for both WWE and TNA, it's a violent sport. Let it be as violent as possible. Real quick, now, AJ, with your thoughts. What do you see as being the most talked about, most bloodiest match after WrestleMania is all said and done? I think it's going to be Brock Lesnar and Triple H is going to be the talked about match.
Yeah, it has to be. Or CM Punk defeating Undertaker and then finally ending the streak. I really think they should let those two go ham. I really do. If you let Undertaker and CM Punk steal the show in some form or fashion, or let The Rock whoop John Cena's ass like I've been trying to find a way to do for like the last 5 years since I started Mayhem. Like somebody, please show a little bit of blood. Take WrestleMania by storm and break. Try to kill each other. Not in the sense like you kill each other, but like somebody do something, please. I really think the match that will be mostly talked about is that CM Punk and Undertaker match. And that's the match I'm going to ride with, because that's the one that I really think, besides, you know, Triple H and Brock Lesnar, I'm Brock. Everybody knows I'm a fan of the Brock lot. I'm a Brock Lesnar fan. I'm a Paul Heyman fan. Me and Paul Heyman go way back, like two disco tracks, God knows what else. but my eyes are set on, and no offense to the other matches, Brock Lesnar and Triple H and The Rock and John Cena, but I'm more geared towards CM Punk and The Undertaker. Although we have not seen Undertaker in ages, right?
Right.
I'm more prone to, like, here goes a fresh face, even though it's not fresh, but, look, it's The Undertaker, the mystique, the mysteriousness of him coming back. Like, what condition is Undertaker really in? Is he healthy? Is his knees able to hold up?
Well,
will he be able to close the distance?
He's in there to do this, and he's going to do it. AJ,
right.
20 seconds, final question. Do you think, and if we go over, just listen to the show after, ladies and gentlemen, it looks like we might go over time here. Do you think that John Cena will more than likely turn heel?
He'll turn heel and win the championship.
Yes, I think so too. I honestly can see that happening. I believe that if John Cena turns heel, that people will still, and I know I will, people will still boo John Cena out of their buildings.
Oh, my God, man. We have a lot of talking to do.
Yes, we do. And we are in overtime now, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, man, I wish you could all be in overtime with us.
Yeah, it's different from everything else because, for one thing, here in overtime, like, we really dissect this shit.
Yep. Yeah, Coffee said in the chat room, he said, put Lance Storm on the card, he'll sell out.
Right. Wow. My thing is, and this, it goes back to that Undertaker CM Punk match. I really, really would like to see them unleash CM Punk. Let the writing finally do its job, or let CM Punk take reign and just lead the company in a new era and into a new direction. If you really want the fans to be intrigued, let CM Punk go. Let CM Punk do CM Punk, because if you've ever watched any of his old classic indie matches, when you let CM Punk do his thing, you will not be upset with what he does, because he's not even a performer. He's a magician with words. He's a very, very active wrestler. He's just unique. And all aspects of who he is, CM Punk. Nobody knows why he's named CM Punk. And I remember him saying why in an interview that he did years ago. And I'll try and look for that for future reference. But he kind of explained why his name is so unique and why it's so unique to him. And it's just, to me, he's a unique superstar who they're holding back for whatever reason at this current second. I mean, they gave him the championship. He held it for a very long time. I think it was the second longest time in WWE history, or maybe a little longer. I'm not sure. I don't remember that stat quite too well. I remember reading about it, but I just don't have it off the top of my mind. But that match is the only match that I find intriguing because, like I told you earlier and the rest of you guys, the card is stale as shit. It's like, Matt, me facing a bum off the street in a regular match. And we all know it's not exciting because more likely if I get my ass whooped, they'll probably make the crowd pop, but that'll be the end of it. Like, let CM Punk go. Like, change the tone of the match. Make it one of those matches, not a buried alive match. It's a little too quick for all that.
But, yeah.
Like, let him go. Like, say, no disqualifications. I mean, do something that you wouldn't normally do with these two wrestlers that will make people say, that was a very good decision by WWE. Make it a 60-minute Iron Man match. Or let's see how long Undertaker can really go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would love to see that. I hope that happens.
You see? I mean, we all are geared up to see Brock Lesnar versus Triple H. Triple H just comes out of nowhere, but he's supposed to be the COO of a corporation and shit. Like, how are you able to come back and wrestle? Don't you have to work in Stanford? Why are you following the company around? And why is this? Why does Vince have to come back and get F5 if he isn't even supposed to be a character anymore in his own company?
Right, that's another great question that I don't know the answer to, man.
Like, this is the stuff that I'm talking about. Vince has built up this company so far with the way they've advertised and stuff to make you believe, like, okay, well, he just says one thing, but he's just going to do another.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it's crazy. It's very crazy. And that's why, me personally, I haven't watched. Today I've actually watched more wrestling than I have in the last 2 years.
Yeah, well, that's why I have, you know, I'm grateful that I have some independent wrestling on DVD. I would like to find more, but I haven't been able to find more. I was lucky last summer when I was able to find that Japan wrestling, the FTW that I told you about last summer.
I thought, didn't they come over here and advertise and do a couple of shows?
I don't know.
Well, see, man, maybe we should make our own federation and go up against Vince and show him what a real true product should be made of.
Exactly, yeah. But
a lot of wrestling fans would be happy with that. And I'm gonna do some research. I'm gonna do a little bit of research. But you know, my thoughts on that are not done by a long shot, and you know that. You already know how I feel about this. I want to dig deep, and I want to look for something, and I want to find it. And when I find it, I'm going to bring it to you, and I want to let you know what exactly it is, how exactly it's going to be done, and whether or not it affects WWE or not. Because more than likely, there's a lot of shit. There's a lot of shit. I have a lot of digging to do. You may not hear it from me for a while.
Vince just needs to do one thing, and it's the only thing that matters, especially since he says that WrestleMania is the biggest show of the year, and we never let the fans down. Well, you let the fans down the last 3 years. My thing about Vince is that this Sunday I hope Vince does the right thing. And it's the only thing that truly matters is, AJ, he needs to send the fans home happy.
Yeah.
I mean 100% happy.
If I'm going to pay damn near $83, which is the price of admission to a Flyers fucking game, which is ridiculous because they suck. No offense to the new Flyers. But I would love to go home from WrestleMania with a big-ass smile on my face. Like, did you see Jeff Hardy go through that table? Or, you know, even though he's in TNA. And
mm-hmm.
Really,
yeah, I know what you mean.
It doesn't work out too well. Well, I would love to see CM Punk set somebody on fire and they not die. Like, just something that will leave me with a big smile on my face. Like, that was well-deserved. Well-deserved. I haven't, to be honest, man, I have not been that excited for wrestling since the Alliance. Or since, you know, Stephanie McMahon was, you know, general manager of SmackDown.
Yep. Yep. A lot of people feel the same way as you.
The storylines were good back then. But here's one thing that I think that we could probably both leave off on. Where do you go after WrestleMania? Which direction does the company go in after WrestleMania? Do you make it TV-14, or do you continue with the surge of the TV-14 PG theory that is going on?
You need to head in the TV-14, you know, direction. That's the direction you need to head in. And, you know, like I mentioned on the live show, that they were talking about women's body parts, and Jerry Lawson, he liked to give Brie Bella $5 because she's $5 worth of ass, and I was like, come on now, I thought it was PG.
But see, that's classic Jerry the King Lawler. And with that being said, do you think that more wrestlers will come back if they go on the TV 14 area again, do you think that you can attract an audience? I mean, let's face it. The kid audience is good and dandy, and it was fun going back and having fun with that for a while because, you know, wrestling and being extreme was good and fun, but nobody wants to get hurt anymore. But there's the way of being TV 14 and still promoting nonviolence.
Yeah, there is.
Called parenting. Either you're good at it or you're not. Either you do it or you don't. Either it happens or it won't. And that's all I have to say on that much. But one last thing. I said that topic would be the last one, but here's this one. If you talk about the Honky Tonk Man and his current WWE deal that he signed this week.
No, I didn't get a chance to, but, you know, yeah, he did sign a brand new contract.
One question. What the fuck for?
That's what I don't understand. I don't get it. I don't understand why he even signed when he says he has all these disagreements and he just never sees eye to eye with Vince on anything. That's why he left.
And not only that, what the fuck is he here for? Like, are you going to help train wrestlers? Like, you were the longest Intercontinental Champion, no doubt about that, but are you fucking serious? Really? The Honky Tonk Man? Okay. No offense to anybody out there that's a big-ass fan of the Honky Tonk Man. Seriously, I like the guy, too, but in this capacity, you bring him back, is he here to train? I mean, let's face it, X-Pac doesn't deserve a contract. Okay, because he kind of split his ass wide open at an indie show a couple weeks back. No offense, X-Pac, hope you know, have a speedy recovery and shit, but the more you keep digging in the past, you're not going to find buried treasure that you left off from. You're just going to find old heartaches and old pains, and I think, you know where I'm going with this one because I'm about to bring it up, and I don't think anybody was prepared for me to bring it up, but here it goes. This is what I'm leaving off on. Owen Hart's lawsuit with WWE and Martha Smith, between Martha Hart and the WWE is finally over.
Yeah, I talked about that.
Okay, and I wasn't around for that part, but here's my thoughts on that. We couldn't have come to an agreement years ago, but it really had to play out this long. I was a big Owen Hart fan growing up. I was a kid. I loved the whole idea of Owen Hart being a superhero. His death was tragic, and she had every right to sue. But Vince, you said that there was no bias between you and the Hart family. You brought back Bret Hart two or three years ago, right? But you couldn't iron out a deal then with Martha. You had to keep things going because you're Vince McMahon, and this is what you do. You make episodes. How many lawsuits have you actually been in that people don't know about?
Ooh, that's a good question. Wow. Preach it, AJ.
Mm. There's a lot of things that people don't know about Vince McMahon. But guess what? I have a couple of insiders. And we'll find out about those probably next week.
Yes, we need to get into that next week.
And that's the overtime. Matt, congratulations on the interview. I saw that earlier. That's what I wanted to tell you. Hopefully we can discuss that between us on Facebook and chat. But I will talk to you next week. Good night, everybody.
Take care, everyone. We are out of here.